Welcome to Peak Health, a radio show dedicated to empowering you to take back control of your health so that you can have the freedom to live the life that you want. I'm Lisa Morse, naturopathic physician on the island at Fern Cove Natural Medicine. I'm dedicated to helping you uncover the root cause of your symptoms so that you can get back on the road to feeling well again.
And I'm Claire Denise, certified health and wellness coach and a personal trainer. Our show is going to bring you information to help you take charge of your health. We're going to cover topics like IBS, heartburn, thyroid disorders, autoimmune diseases, osteoporosis, nutrition, and lots more.
Hi, Claire.
Hi, Lisa.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. It's another great day.
It is a great day, and it's great to be in the studio with you.
I know, and I'm sort of taking the lead today.
You are. What are we going to talk about today?
Well, we're going to talk about weight loss.
Ooh,
weight loss. Yeah, it's a big topic, but one of the things that I want to stress is this isn't just so much about weight loss, but how to be successful long term.
I like that.
Yeah, so we can like lose weight for a reunion or a wedding, but you know, we are good for a while and then we sort of fall back into our erroneous ways.
Yes. As with any health change, you know, lifestyle change and stuff.
Yeah. It's sort of like the bungee cord pulls you back.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is about how to cut the bungee cord.
Okay. Cool. I'm excited to hear.
Yeah. Just as an opener, it's a huge, huge industry, mm-hmm. multi-billion dollars. And as far as I know, there's no danger of them putting themselves out of business by everyone not being overweight. And in this country, their CDC now says that's the Center for Disease Control, says 69% of the population is overweight or obese.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot of people.
It's a big number.
And in Canada, it's only 59%.
Okay.
And as I mentioned, that a lot of people can't keep it off. And this is about my take about why they can't keep it off. And this is a little bit different approach than you might normally hear about how to lose weight, like, you know, eat less and exercise more.
Right.
But the premise really is if you want different results, you have to behave differently. Mm-hmm. And that would be permanently, like cutting that bungee cord.
Yeah.
And I think it's important for people to realize that it really is going to be a permanent change in their life and that their life won't be exactly the way it was, and they won't be who they exactly were before they lost weight. So their life, their behaviors, everything's going to change if it's going to be a permanent situation and they're going to stay the size they want to be and have the good health that they want. So my different approach is going to give them some things to think about and maybe a couple of nuggets that will resonate and maybe they'll put them into action.
Nice. Yeah, I do agree with you, Claire, about, you know, behavior change, and it's essential for not only weight loss, but good health. But I just want to add a little bit in here that I do think there's something to be said for getting yourself to the doctor to make sure there's not an underlying health problem or imbalance that is contributing to weight gain. And, you know, thyroid and adrenal are two that come to mind. Mm-hmm. And so, but it often does go back to making good choices for your health. So.
Yeah, and I think it's a much bigger issue than just, as I mentioned, you know, eating less and exercising
Absolutely.
More.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it's not anymore so much how much you eat, but what you're eating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so back to one of the words that I mentioned at the beginning is hopefully people will put something into action. Mm-hmm. And I would want to mention that action is a key word in weight loss. It's an active pursuit. It's not passive, like not eating as much. So you have to shift your mindset to recognize that it's going to take some time and some effort and some focus. So you need to be ready to devote that time to the behavior changes and just feeling different and may not always be comfortable as you go through that change.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do start that discomfort, that's a good thing because it means you're growing and changing and being on the right path.
Yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mentioned a different approach earlier, and I've sort of divided it into five aspects.
Okay.
And one of the reasons I think people aren't permanently successful is that they don't put enough time and focus on all five aspects.
Okay.
And remember that I'm a coach, so this talk comes sort of from that overall perspective.
Okay, great. Well, I'm excited to hear what these aspects are. Tell me.
Well, okay. The first one is the most obvious, which I'm just calling the physical. It's what's tangible. It's the multi-billion dollar industry. It's, I bought a new book on how to lose weight. It's the Dan plan or the Atkins diet or the cabbage soup diet or whatever. You're doing a program or you're going to the new gym you just joined and things like that. It's the most obvious, and what we're going to do is shift from the most obvious to more the least obvious, or from the external obvious things to the more internal, less obvious things.
Yeah, I like that, because, you know, a lot of people are doing these different plans and different physical things, and we still don't seem to be getting as good of results or long-term results.
Right, right. So, and the 69% is still out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, whereas all these tangible things are part of it, cooking and recipes or not cooking or counting calories, how many grams of protein, whether you're ingesting food or not, what choices, fiber, veggies, diet programs, recording it on an app, whatever, they're all part of what I call the physical or the tangible side of weight loss. Some people, they run through all those things and they give up.
Yeah.
And they just say, oh, I don't care, I'm exhausted, I can't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. But what I think is all those tangibles are an essential beginning, and they're sort of the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
And so those are action kinds of things that are real obvious. And some of these action things may be a little less obvious because they're going to be a little more internal.
Okay.
So I'll move on to my next one now. Are you waiting with
bated
breath?
Yes, I'm ready. What's the next one?
I'm just going to say it's intellectual. This is not in any particular order. And I don't want to say mental because I just don't like, I like the term intellectual as well. So this is things like making a decision to change. Some of my clients will say, well, I saw a picture of myself and I just couldn't believe it. So they made the decision to change.
Mm.
And even committing to your commitment to change, that's another aspect of your intellectual decision making. Accountability, you know, are you willing to get on the scale and see the number, or to allow yourself the humility of the weight loss process? So cerebrally choosing health and at least wanting to look better. You want to be a smaller size. Everyone says they want health, but they really want to look good too.
Yeah.
We want to get the guy or the girl, be honest with our motivation. So we have to use our adult selves. Sometimes we have to parent ourselves, and that may not be as exciting as just buying a book, but it's going to take us where we want to go. And we have to do that if we really want the permanent results.
Right.
So I was just going to digress a little here using a quick analogy of the three parts of the brain. The brain stem or the amygdala is sort of the let's keep you alive brain.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a lot of innate behaviors, and you don't have to tell yourself that the stove is hot and think about whether you should move your hand. It just happens, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's essentially saying we don't like change. It's been working in the past and it's good enough. And those automatic reactions are just what we're going to, you know, defend to the end, you know. And so that's the first part of our brain. And in the midst of above that is the limbic part of the brain. And that's the seat of our emotions. And generally humans are drawn towards pleasure, how we feel about something. Even just like thinking about food can elicit like a dopamine response in our brain, and that feels good. And so we're drawn towards that. So the emotional side of eating for celebration, for sadness, for, you know, a myriad of emotions
mm-hmm.
might be processed in that part of the brain. And then we have the cerebral part that says, hey, I want to look good for the reunion. I want to be healthy. And this is where we're supposed to make sense of the part that doesn't want to change and the emotional part, and it's supposed to integrate there. And so, you know, one quick example would be, I don't want to quit smoking, but I don't want to get lung cancer. So we have the change that says, I like it the way it is. I want to smoke, with the front of the brain going, yeah, but we don't want to get lung cancer. So it's like your brain is at war with itself.
Right. I love that. I love just learning about the different types of the parts of the brain and what they do, because in a way it's like, you know that you're making this intellectual choice, but it's okay. You realize that there's still these emotions and there's still this part of you that doesn't want the change. And, yeah. and it's okay that it's there.
Sure.
Just being aware of it, that it's yeah. there is huge.
Yeah. So that mindfulness or that awareness mm-hmm. of the choices or the little semi-war that's going on yeah. just in your, it's like, I should go to the gym, but it's dark, it's cold, I don't want to. And oh, but I know it's good for me, you know, mm-hmm. stop those voices and just make a decision and follow through with it.
Yeah.
A better way to handle it. Uh-huh. So that mindfulness awareness is really key towards moving in the direction of permanent change.
Mm-hmm.
One thing you could do is ask yourself, what would you regret the least? Mm. For instance, eating the cookie or not eating the cookie?
Right.
So that's sort of the cerebral, and these are sort of interrelated. So excuse me if you think, oh, well, I think that's psychological.
No.
So the next one I would say is emotional, as I mentioned, that middle part of the brain. Mm-hmm. And I get lots of responses from people when I say, tell me about your childhood eating.
Mm.
They have strong memories, good or bad. We were supposed to be members of the Clean Plate Club.
Right.
And what about the starving children in other parts of the world? And we're not supposed to waste food. And a lot of people remember specific incidences. They never ate breakfast because they were home alone. They were forced to eat eggs and it made them sick every morning. Things like that. Fed TV dinners, never ate home-cooked food. Just a lot of things that people jump right to. And those emotional experiences are deeply embedded and can have an impact on the ability to achieve permanent weight loss.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree.
Do you have any memories that are associated with food from your childhood?
Well, yeah, I do have some, you know, just like things.
Good or bad.
Yeah, things that my family ate at certain holidays, you know, like the Christmas cookies with the frosting
yeah.
and the sprinkles.
Yeah, and making them.
Yes. But also when I was sick, you know, my mom would give me saltines and tepid Coke and, you know, I don't really think they have any medicinal value, but I know they made me feel better emotionally. So, yeah.
Well, and for sure that's important.
Yes,
that's
absolutely.
A big part of feeling
getting better.
Okay.
Yeah.
So comfort foods.
Yeah.
I got ginger ale.
Mm, okay.
Not
Coke.
So, anyway, the whole idea of the comfort of emotional, and of course, emotional eating for a variety of different emotions is a big factor here. We can eat when we're sad, if we have SAD, if we're happy, stressed, mad, celebrating, and we have emotions throughout the day. So having a strategy of mindfulness or awareness, as you mentioned before, for those situations is not a bad idea.
Yeah.
And we could spend a whole show on this. Or, in fact, any one of the aspects, for that matter. Because something that starts out emotional can end up being physical.
Mm-hmm.
If we eat because we're stressed and then we feel better, over time our body diminishes the dopamine response and we have to eat more to get the same feeling.
Right.
It's sort of like that insulin response and developing insulin resistance.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was just going to mention cravings here.
Yes, cravings.
Another broad topic. These could be physical in nature, like craving salt. But it could be a sign of needing minerals or being dehydrated or adrenal fatigue. So it could be physical, too.
Yes, definitely. I would say adrenal fatigue. That's a huge one when people crave salt.
It could be emotional, associated with memories, good times, or not wanting to feel deprived. We could be out of balance. Our nutrition might be out of whack. Our hormones could be out of whack. We could be deficient in what I call primary food by Institute of Integrative Nutrition. But what I call soul food, which is, it's really emotional to me, is what do we really need from our lives in creativity, purpose, say health, relationships, that isn't being met, that we're turning to food to fulfill.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I think this is a big key to success of weight loss. Are we feeding our emotions and our mind?
Yeah.
Or our soul?
Right.
Or are we just feeding our bodies?
Yeah.
You know, so we can't feed our soul by just feeding our body.
Yeah, I like to, one of the things I think about after this talk is patients who have diabetes. I often say, now, you know, where's the sweetness in your life?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And so, I mean, there's something to be said for that. And then the other parts that play into, you know, diabetes. I mean, it's not just where's the sweetness in your life, but something always to consider. And so the same thing with weight loss, you know.
So it's a balance then, you know, yeah. If you don't have sweet in your life, A, because you're diabetic, B, where do you find that sweetness in other places that are non-food?
Okay. I was thinking more of like, you know, if you're lacking sweetness in your life, you're using food to the sweetness to, and then you get diabetes. But obviously there's more that can play into it, but something to think about.
So that kind of moves us on into the psychological, you know, so the physical can go to the emotional, and then it can go on into psychological. This is a big one. I keep saying that.
Yeah.
And we could spend a lot of time here because everyone's wired differently. And I was just going to hit on a couple of highlights, and maybe listeners can pick up and choose what fits for them.
Yeah.
So the first on my list of psychological ideas is triggers.
Okay.
I call it TRP, trigger, response, and the payoff. And we may not be aware of our triggers, but they're there and they contribute to our success or failure to change habits.
Okay.
So one day I tried tracking my triggers for eating and I discovered that I had them coming up all day long.
Huh.
You know,
yeah.
Getting up in the morning, you might have a trigger that you always eat breakfast. Okay. I found out that every time I got out of my chair at work, I was heading for a drawer of Hershey's Kisses. When I got home, I headed for the kitchen. You know, when the TV went on at night, there were just a lot of times. If you were a smoker, for instance, you might walk out on the back porch because that's where you smoked all the time. You get in your car, you light a cigarette, you know, maybe you eat in your car. So when you get in your car, you associate it with getting a latte and drinking that on your way to work. So when you have the trigger, then you have this response to eat something or light a cigarette, and this, as I used as a different example, and then you get some kind of a payoff for it. So if you're changing that, what you're doing is when the trigger occurs, you choose a different response.
Right. I like that.
So for instance, if the trigger is the kids are in bed and I'm going down and I'm wandering into the kitchen because it's 9 o'clock, instead of having a bag of potato chips, maybe you would make a cup of tea. So, you know, you still get sort of a payoff of nurturing yourself, but you choose a better response.
Yeah, that's great. And are those kind of things that you help people with, like lead them to?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I help them to recognize what their triggers are, you know, and sometimes it's a fairly new idea. They're like, what? I always eat this, you know, like the 9 o'clock at night thing, or night eaters. It's a big issue for people that are wanting to lose weight, is especially if they stay up late, because then they either think they're hungry or it's just something that sort of soothes them, I think, as they're staying up late.
Okay, cool. I just want to break in here for a second, Claire, and say, tell our listeners that you're listening to Voice of Ashon FM 101.9 KVSH, and this is Peak Health with Dr. Lisa Morse and Claire DeNice, health coach and personal trainer. We're talking about weight loss, and Claire is talking about a different way to look at weight loss, five different aspects that affect weight loss. And so we talked about the physical and the intellectual, emotional, and we're talking about the psychological right now.
Yeah. So, you know, the trigger response payoff idea, as I was mentioning, we might not be very aware of what our triggers are, but they will contribute to our success or failure to change our habits. Anyway, it's just one thing that you can think about.
Yeah.
Once the trigger initiates, we have that response to it, and then we have the reward. And we're wired for reward. So we want to still get a reward. We just don't want to get it with a different way.
Yeah.
A different response.
I like that.
Yeah. Let's see. Where do I want to go from here? So I'd say just, you know, you want to recognize your triggers, choose that different response, and make sure that you have some kind of positive outcome or payoff.
Okay.
Like if you have the 10 o'clock coffee break, maybe instead of having coffee, you go for a walk or stretch or talk to a colleague or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And take the moment to feel good and be mindful about the change that you're trying to make.
That's great. I like it.
Yeah. Did you know there's stages of change, Lisa?
I did. I learned that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So quickly, there's just like pre-contemplation, which is, I don't care. I tried it. I'm not doing it. Then you're thinking about it, contemplation. Then you're planning on it. And then you're actually taking the action. And then you're in maintenance mode that, you know, it becomes a behavior change.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really essentially where we want to end up in terms of permanent weight loss.
Right.
So that we don't drift back and slowly regain those pounds.
Mm-hmm. So it's important to figure out where we're at in those five stages. And
yeah.
Then...
Yeah. Are you planning on it in a month or in 6 months?
Mm-hmm.
Have you started doing it? And it's easy to slip back and forth. A lot of times changing behaviors takes more than one attempt.
Right.
One of the things I think that's helpful for success, though, is that we need to prioritize ourselves. So we prioritize our jobs. We prioritize our families. We're not always very good at that. I like the term me time, where we put ourselves first in terms of at least healthy behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to be unkind or narcissistic. We're just going to have like positive boundaries for prioritizing ourselves in terms of good health habits.
Yeah, that's huge. I think that's so important for people, just for good health. And so many times I find, you know, my patients are just overextending themselves. And they need to take care of themselves.
In this day and age, it's so easy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's so much more positive than, say, willpower or self-discipline.
Right.
Which are, you know, good terms. I don't know if I'd put them into the intellectual category or the psychological category. But they're a little more negative. And sustaining them long-term is pretty hard.
Yeah.
So another aspect of the psychological approach is how convenient is it, especially when you're talking about how busy lifestyles are.
Mm-hmm.
And relative to our busy lives, we have takeout, we have fast food, we have processed foods, we have eating in restaurants instead of cooking for ourselves. And I just would say it's possible to find convenience and still lose weight so that you don't have to make a lot of recipes if you don't want to. Stores offer a lot more convenience that is healthy. Frozen vegetables, for instance, riced cauliflower. I call the smart man's fast food is the salad bar in the grocery store.
Yeah.
You do have to get out of your car to go get it. But it's still you don't have to make it yourself. And
right.
You can have a variety of things to choose from that you don't have to have all those ingredients in your own cupboard as well.
Yeah.
Another aspect of psychology is what's our body image?
That's huge.
And our beliefs around that. You know, we might be fat but feel thin. We might be thin and feel fat, you know. So it's something that we want to separate from our self-esteem and our confidence. We might think we're a little overweight and think we're a lot overweight. So there's a lot of eating disorders, and this isn't about talking about any particular eating disorder. It's just a little bit about how to be a little more permanent in your weight loss approach. Because you see we're moving from the tangible to the intangible.
Yes.
And so that's going to be different for every person. But we can suffice it to say that bodies come in all shapes and sizes, and we're all lovable.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and we all need to believe that body image is not connected to who we are or how big we are, how we should feel about ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So as I said, this can have, you know, just a long conversation, and I don't know that I'm qualified to go into the depths that a counselor or a therapist might, but there's an element of self-sabotage that might be in play here. We're good for a while and then we blow it, you know?
Right.
We lapse for a while and then we relapse completely for a while and our behavior change status goes back to contemplating again and then comes back again. We vacillate with that
Yeah, and that's normal, isn't it?
It is pretty normal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is that, you know, you don't make change just boom one time and you're done. Mm-hmm. You know, you go back and forth a bit. So it's that bungee cord that pulls us back again towards our old behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
And I think diligence and patience, those are two good words here.
Yeah.
And it usually does take more than one try to do a lot of difficult things like quit smoking or even leaving a difficult relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Weight loss isn't any different. But over time, if you stay the course and you think back, you will have made progress. And over time, all those small steps will begin to add up.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's how I feel when I'm working with my patients, too. You know, we all falter at different points and it's natural. And in fact, I think being perfect about everything can be another issue and can be problematic. Just trying to do everything right can be just as harmful. So just being gentle with yourself, I think, is important.
So like when you're working with people on, you know, say medical type protocols or mm-hmm. homeopathic yeah. remedies and stuff,
yeah.
They're not always like doing it exactly.
No.
No?
No. Well, I took it once a day, you know, or, you know.
I didn't see any results, so I quit taking it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I just say, okay, well, let's just, you know, move on to next thing. So yeah,
just curious, and I just want to be remiss and mentioning things like self-esteem, confidence, and self-worth as psychological influences. Like, you know, if we don't think we deserve to look good or we don't deserve to get the guy or the girl or to be healthy on some level, that you know, those are things that we would want to look into and examine, because those are bungee cords that are going to pull us back to the behaviors that we don't really want, that keep us from having the permanent solution to keeping the weight off. And I'd also want to mention that exercise is really helpful for keeping weight off. So
mm-hmm.
little by little, even if it's just walking or something, keeping weight off permanently, exercise is a great strategy.
Yeah.
So I'm coming to our last one now.
Okay.
And that would be social.
Mm-hmm.
And I just made this one sort of the catch-all of all the daily encounters in our lives. At home, do we have support from our family and our friends? At work, are there donuts, cookies, candy bowls, unhealthy foods that are provided at meetings? Do you succumb to the, well, it's free, so why not eat it? Like in Costco when they have samples.
Oh, yeah.
What about potlucks? Do you feel like you have to try everyone's food so their feelings aren't hurt? What about vacations or holidays?
Mm-hmm.
Then we go back to the emotional. We always make Christmas cookies.
Mm-hmm.
What about happy hour? You're invited to happy hour. Do you have to have a drink at happy hour? And somehow all these different aspects that are sort of social in nature, and there's so many of them associated with food, give us permission to deviate. So what we want really is to have the boundaries that are how we are with food, regardless of where we are, Costco, vacation, at work, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not an easy thing, you know, and you could even have friends that try to sabotage your progress. So if you hang out with the people that you want to be like,
yes,
that's a good strategy.
And
it makes it a lot easier. If you want to be more active, hang out with active people.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to eat better, hang out with people that like vegetables.
Yes, I like it. Yeah, I just want to say, when thinking about how you eat and how you interact with your food, I think it's important to not say, I can't do this or I can't do that. And it's more about, well, I don't do this or I don't. And you are making a choice to live and to eat a certain way and to be confident in that.
Choice.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah.
So just remembering that, you know, having that strong sense of yourself and how you behave with food, it should be with you regardless of where you are or what circumstance you find yourself in.
Right.
And wrapping up then, that we've talked about these five aspects of food,
mm-hmm.
And that successful and permanent weight loss is addressing all of those.
Right.
So how you eat is part of who you are and how you treat yourself. I feel like you'll have more integrity and execute better in every aspect of your life if you have your own self-respect and self-trust. Mm-hmm. And that comes with taking and having a measure of control and choice.
Yeah.
That word you just used. And food gives us that opportunity. So we don't have to feel deprived. We can say this is what we're choosing because long term we want different results, right?
Right.
So it's internal and external issues that we've discussed today. And it's not easy. Don't for a second think that it's not doable. That difference between saying I can't or I won't or versus I don't or I'm not right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a recipe of time and the willingness to change back to that primitive brain again that we have to override sometimes with the contributions from all those different aspects, social, psychological, emotional, intellectual, and then all the physical, more tangible things that are the obvious things around weight loss.
Mm.
We want to try and not let old patterns and thinking that we can't change or don't want to give up chocolate deter us from what we want deep down to be our best selves.
Yeah.
And, you know, those old patterns and behaviors probably worked before and had a purpose, but we don't need them now. This is now, and we can do this.
Yeah, I like that.
So we're both here.
Yeah. So
if anyone wants some help.
So you help people with weight loss, Claire?
I do. Yeah, quite a few people.
That's great. Yeah. So, yeah, I just encourage our listeners, if you're struggling, to reach out and contact Claire.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This is Peak Health, where we are dedicated to educating and inspiring you, our listeners, to take back control of your health so that you can have the freedom to live the life that you desire. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and thanks for enlightening me, Claire, about weight loss.
Well, I know it's not something that's a personal challenge for you, but it is for a lot of people, and it certainly does affect our health.
Absolutely. All right. Take care, everybody.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.